It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up a word on food, and our arts calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Now, music contributor Chris DeAngelis interviews a renowned jazz bassist about his career and his upcoming concert for the South Florida Jazz Series.
In jazz music, the upright bass has singular capabilities. It simultaneously provides rhythmic pulse, outlines harmony, and in freer musical situations, feeds melodic material to the other instruments in the group. The bass provides a solid ground over which melody and improvisation can soar, and only the bass performs all three of these functions within a jazz group. Considering the unique status of this instrument as the glue which binds an ensemble together, one would expect to find many bass-playing band leaders. While it's been said that jazz music is democracy in a microcosm, with every member of the band standing on equal ground, every democracy still needs a president, a leader who can guide the group's musical direction, and well, there just haven't been too many bass player presidents. With the exceptions of Charles Mingus, who was more of a dictator than a president, and Ron Carter, who was eminently more diplomatic, bassists as band leaders have traditionally been quite rare. However, thanks to developments in the electronic amplification of the instrument, the codification of jazz within the American educational system, and perhaps most importantly, thanks to the continuing evolution of jazz itself, more and more bass players have emerged from the shadows of the rhythm section to lead their own bands in recent years. This inevitably brings us to Christian McBride. McBride grew up in a musical family in Philadelphia. His father, Lee Smith, is a professional bassist who performed with Afro-Cuban percussionist Mongo Santa Maria, Dizzy Gillespie, Rashawn Roland Kirk, Bud Shank, and others, and McBride's great uncle was a bass player too. He began playing bass guitar at the age of 9 and picked up acoustic 2 years later. When he was around 14 or 15, he met trumpeter Wynton Marsalis, who became somewhat of a mentor. At that time, McBride was undecided whether to pursue classical music or jazz, and Marsalis, whose own star was on the rise, helped convince him jazz was the way. By the age of 17, he was in New York, attending the prestigious Juilliard School of Music. At that time, he also had joined saxophonist Bobby Watson's group. He attended Juilliard for only 1 year before he left the school to concentrate all of his energies on his professional musical career. Later, in New York, while still a teenager, the young bass prodigy began a 3-year stint with trumpeter Freddie Hubbard. He soon became the bassist favored by older jazz legends like Milt Jackson, J.J. Johnson, Benny Golson, and Hank Jones, as well as his own contemporaries like Roy Hargrove and Joshua Redman. Since then, it's become nearly impossible to find a jazz artist he hasn't gigged with. Herbie Hancock, Pat Metheny, Chick Corea, Roy Haynes, Joe Henderson, McCoy Tyner, John McLaughlin. Well, we really don't have enough time here to list them all. But like all truly great musicians, McBride has not been deterred by labels and definitions. He is equally at home in pop and R&B music, and for the past 20 years, he's recorded and performed with an astonishing array of artists like Isaac Hayes, Paul McCartney, The Roots, Sting, Queen Latifah, Questlove, Celine Dion, James Brown. All in all, he has appeared on over 300 recordings as a sideman. Christian McBride became a band leader in his own right way back in 1995 with the debut of his first album, Gettin' to It. Since then, he's released a dozen albums. His music and the bands which he fronts are refreshing and unpredictable, running the gamut from bebop to funk, big band swing, blues, soul, and hip-hop, sometimes within a single performance. Christian McBride and his trio will be in South Florida next Saturday night, June 14th, at the Miniachi Performing Arts Center at Nova University in Davie. The trio is touring in support of their new CD entitled Out Here. We recently spoke with Christian McBride about his life, his instrument, and his music. Christian McBride, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
My pleasure.
Your father is a bassist. What kind of advice has he given you on playing the instrument?
I don't know if he really gave me any advice. He just taught me how to play my first couple of songs, which were, some old R&B classics like Papa Was a Rolling Stone. And when I first started playing bass, Hall & Oates, I Can't Go For That was like the number one pop song. So that was the other song I learned. So, that kind of just got me started. After that, it was all like listening to the radio, listening to records, and doing all I could to learn the bass line directly from the recording.
So when you first began playing, you were mostly listening to what was happening then?
Yeah, it's all popular music. And my mother's old R&B records.
Yeah, I noticed on a lot of your CDs you include at least one 60s or 70s R&B tune.
Oh, yeah.
How about Ray Brown?
I didn't really become familiar with Ray Brown until my late teens. By the time I discovered the Oscar Peterson Trio, I was about maybe 16 or 17. And needless to say, I fell in love with it right away. And then once I moved to New York from Philadelphia, and particularly when I started working with Benny Green, the great pianist, he was and still is, a Oscar Peterson historian and protege. So once I started playing with Benny, I really kind of got headfirst into the Oscar Peterson Trio. Therefore, I started getting into Ray Brown pretty heavy. And then not too long after that, I met him, and he became a mentor and probably my number one biggest hero on the bass.
Wow. Hey, did you go to public school?
In Philly, yes, I did. I went to the High School for the Creative and Performing Arts, which is also where The Roots went. That's where Joey DeFrancesco went. That's where Kurt Rosenwinkel went. We all graduated together, same year, class of 89.
They must have had a great music program going there.
Well, you know, I have it. I need to hurry up and transfer it quickly before it fades away, but I actually have an old VHS tape of us in high school. My high school jazz band's rhythm section with me, Questlove, Joey, and Kurt Rosenwinkel, and I have a videotape of us all playing together in high school. I got to get that digitized so everybody can see it.
Yeah, get that baby up on YouTube, man. I know a lot of people want to see that. How did the program there inform your decision about making music your life?
You know, I think I was fortunate. I knew that I wanted to be a musician for the rest of my life before I got to high school. I think once I started playing the bass in middle school, I fell in love with it so deeply. I knew that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So, you know, I feel like once you discover what it is that you love, that's more than half the battle. Because once you figure that out, then you just work on that, and then I think that will take you places you wouldn't even have dreamt of going.
So when you met Wynton Marsalis, was that high school or junior high school?
Yeah. Yeah, that was high school, yeah.
And what did he have to say to you?
You know, it's funny because in retrospect, I was 15. Wynton was probably only 26. And we don't acknowledge 26-year-olds as having a lot of wisdom, but I think Wynton had a lot of wisdom at age 26. He was able to help me focus on exactly what I needed to do, particularly as a jazz bassist. And I just kept doing what I was already doing, but just even more intensely, listening to a lot of records, doing a lot of transcribing, paying attention to every note that all of these great bass players played on every recording I could get my hands on, from Ray Brown to Paul Chambers to Ron Carter to Mingus, Jimmy Garrison. I just really did all I could to really focus on becoming a really good jazz bass player. So by the time I got to New York, I could hopefully be in line to start working right away. And fortunately, that's sort of what happened.
Out Here is your 12th album as a band leader. How do you go about organizing things when you're running a band?
It depends. If you keep the same band all the time and play with the same guys all the time, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, because I mean, that's great too, but you get to learn from a whole lot of different musicians and get to experience a lot of different things when you put together all these different groups. So in the last, particularly the last, I would say, 6 or 7 years, you know, I've had the Trio, I've had Inside Straight, I've had a big band.
Yeah.
I've had my experimental electric group. So, again, you know, it kind of all depends on whatever I'm trying to accomplish with that particular band, you know. With my Trio, which has been my main group for the last couple of years now, it was sort of an offshoot of my Inside Straight quintet. Carl Allen and Peter Martin had been the rhythm section for Inside Straight pretty much since its touring inception in 2009. And then there was a time where Peter and Carl couldn't make particular gigs, and then I would call Ulysses Owen Jr. and Christian Sands in the sub. And as fate would have it, Warren Wolf and Steve Wilson, who rounded out the Inside Straight group, there were a couple of gigs that they couldn't make. So instead of replacing the both of them, I just opted to do those particular shows only as a trio. And I found out that we had a little thing happening. So I decided, well, maybe I should just keep this trio together. And that's how it all works. Christian, he just turned 25. Ulysses Owens was 31. they do a lot of projects with a lot of guys their age, and none of them really play like real in the pocket right down the middle straight ahead. So I thought that it would be good for them to do that in my trio, because I know they're not going to get to do that anywhere else. So I want them to be able to learn how to express themselves fully in this particular setting, and they do an awesome job.
That's cool. Well, we're all looking forward to your show over at Nova University.
Well, I'm just glad to make it down to South Florida again. You know, there was a long time, actually through most of the 90s and the early part of the 2000s, you know, I didn't get to South Florida much. Now, this is like, what, my fifth or sixth gig down here, like in the last 3 years, and I can't get down there enough. I appreciate the love I'm getting from South Florida. I hope it doesn't stop.
Well, thanks for bringing it down here. Christian McBride, thank you very much for being on South Florida Arts Beat.
My pleasure.
You can hear Christian McBride and his trio live in concert next Saturday evening, June 14th, at the Rose and Alfred Miniacci Performing Arts Center on the campus of Nova University in Davie. For tickets and more info, go to southfloridajazz.org. And for more information about the man himself, go to christianmcbride.com. This is Chris DeAngelis for South Florida Arts Beat.
Chris DeAngelis is a songwriter and musician who has performed throughout the state over the past 20 years in many musical genres. You can email him at molemachine1@yahoo.com. That's M-O-L-E-M-A-C-H-I-N-E and the number 1@yahoo.com. Please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. South Florida Arts Beat returns in just a moment.